This is number 0046, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0046. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet phobia expert Keith Livingston, who says the sound of the vuvuzelas at the World Cup can actually trigger phobias in people who are afraid of bees.
If it triggers it, it's actually a related phobia. I mean, if you think about it, if you talk about somebody who has PTSD because they've been in a war, if they hear a car backfiring or a board slamming on concrete or something like that, they'll respond as if they're in a war zone. And the same thing is true with phobias. If it sounds enough like a bee for somebody to associate it with bees, that could actually trigger the phobic response in them.
Eric Barbario is from kissthisguy.com. That's the website that lists misheard lyrics. How was the site created?
Well, originally, the site was created by a gentleman out in California. He was basically almost scrapbooking it. He was just keeping, you know, handwritten records, and he eventually moved it onto the web several years ago, and it started to gain in popularity. I had known him for a little while, and myself and some other investors, we bought the website from him, and since then have been expanding it. But he and I both shared that appreciation for just mishearing lyrics, and then we expanded upon what he originally had done. So there's a little more interactivity for the users out there, but the basic premise is the same.
James Rocco Lewsbrock is the editor of the All Bacon website, BaconToday.com. Why is a site dedicated to bacon?
All these bacony things were going on, and we said, why not have a site or a destination, a place where people could interact and share their love and passion of bacon? And so it became a joke around the office cooler one day, and the next day, Bacon Today was born.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day. The guest Slater, the person who told you this was show number 0046, is Larry Martos, the general manager, program director, promotions director, and music director. He does everything except clean the windows. At VIP Internet Radio. VIP Internet Radio launched here in Montreal on Canada Day, July the 1st. And we're glad to announce that The Stuff File is now heard on VIP Internet Radio on Mondays at 7 p.m. Check out the website at vipinternetradio.com. VIP Internet Radio is the perfect talk and music station with weekly giveaways and a variety of hosts. VIP Internet Radio is evolution in progress. And we'd like to welcome the new listeners from VIP Internet Radio to the show. And if you want to drop us a line, you can send me an email. The email address for this program is peter@thestufffile.com. That's stuff spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's peter@thestufffile.com. And thank you very, very much, Mr. Martos, also known as Admiral Larry, for doing the guest slate. Let's get right to the Stuff File news, shall we? We start off with a story from Newport Beach, California. Federal officials have deported a New Zealand drug dealer who kept his dead girlfriend's body on dry ice in a swanky Newport Beach hotel after she died of an overdose. That brings new meaning to the term frigid girlfriend, doesn't it? Immigration and Customs Enforcement says Stephen David Royds was deported June 25th. The 49-year-old Royds was paroled in May after serving 1.5 years of a 4-year prison sentence on felony drug charges. He was arrested in 2008 for allegedly selling cocaine and pleaded guilty to drug charges. Investigators who searched his room at the Fairmont Hotel found the body of 33-year-old Monique Tripp in a plastic box filled with dry ice. Acquaintances said she died of an accidental drug overdose nearly a year earlier. Wow. Okay, here's a story under the headline of Asinine Bureaucracy. Former Oregon National Guardsman Gary Fleeter II was shot and wounded while fighting in Iraq. He was shot by a sniper back in 2007, bled profusely, and was evacuated. He is currently awaiting his 9th surgery on the leg, by the way. But in his hour of pain and trauma, the Oregon Guard apparently believed that Gary somehow should have paused to inventory the equipment he was carrying and to make arrangements for its safekeeping during his imminent hospitalization. As a result, this war hero is now awaiting the results of his latest appeal to end the garnishment of his disability checks to cover the $3,175 for the gear he supposedly lost, and I'm doing air quotes here, lost when he was shot. Yes, they are actually charging him for that. You gotta be freaking kidding me. That is just unbelievable. Bureaucracy at its best. I'm sure as this story makes its way around the world, and it will, not just from being on the Stuff File, but it's getting out there. I'm sure some kind Samaritan out there will bring up a fund, and Gary will probably have more money than he'll ever need. But it's just completely asinine. Completely asinine. Some pencil-pushing accountant at the Oregon National Guard needs their bell rung big time. Okay, let's move on to our next story. In Ypsilanti, Michigan, police arrested a drunken man and woman after they were found pushing a baby stroller holding two young boys along with open containers of alcohol and a bayonet inside. Police were alerted to the couple after the woman allegedly tried to steal a bike off of a front porch. Police officers found the woman's 1 and 4-year-old sons in the stroller, along with alcohol and the double-edged bayonet. The kids were turned over to a relative. The couple went to jail. And I know I've said this on the program time and time again, but you know, anybody can have kids, yet you need a license to get a dog. I don't get it. Okay, let's talk about people falling, shall we? This is a story that's not only miraculous, but also weird. In Lake Moore, Illinois, police say a 30-year-old woman fell from a third-story window, landed on her parked car, and then got up and walked into a neighbor's house where she took a nap on the couch for 2 hours. Family members believe the woman woke up before dawn and fell through the screen while opening a third-floor window. She bounced off the hood of her own car, then walked through a neighbor's open garage door and went into the house. The neighbor found her asleep on the couch 2 hours later and called 911. They got her to a hospital where she is reported to not be suffering from any life-threatening injuries. Meanwhile, here in Canada, in Vancouver, a pile of trash awaiting recycling helped two Vancouver teenagers survive a 7-story fall from a building roof. The 18-year-olds had climbed atop the apartment building, apparently to watch Canada Day holiday fireworks on this past Thursday, when the cover over a shaftway collapsed and sent them plummeting. The shaft was actually to an unused or old dumbwaiter. Fortunately for the falling boy and girl, the bottom of the shaft was filled with bags of debris that cushioned the impact of landing on the concrete floor. The two were hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, including broken bones, according to police officials. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News with me, Peter Anthony Holder, in Winter Park, Florida, a man identified only as a 27-year-old out-of-town visitor apparently cashed his paycheck and went straight to the strip bar. Several beers and even more lap dances later, he was 3 sheets to the wind and down $300. That's when it occurred to him that his wife might want some type of explanation as to where the money went. So he flagged down a patrol officer and reported he had been mugged. But the police became skeptical as over the next 90 minutes the guy kept changing his story. That's when he finally broke down and told officers that he just could not admit to his wife that he spent more than half his paycheck on pitchers of beer and strippers, as he and his wife share a common bank account to pay bills and buy groceries. So he was begging for a police report of the alleged crime to show his wife. Somehow I don't think he got it. Okay, On to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Recognize that sound? If you've been watching the 2010 World Cup, then you'll of course know that that's the buzzing sound of the vuvuzelas. But did you know that sound might actually trigger phobias in folks who are afraid of bees? On the line with us right now from the state of Washington is phobia expert Keith Livingston. He has a website called phobiascured.com. Hi, Keith. How are you?
Good, Peter. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the program with us. So is this true? Can an actual noise in this case, because there are no bees involved, obviously, can a noise trigger an unrelated phobia?
Well, if it triggers it, it's actually a related phobia. I mean, if you think about it, if you talk about somebody who has PTSD because they've been in a war, if they hear a car backfiring or a board slamming on concrete or something like that, they'll respond as if they're in a war zone. And the same thing is true with phobias. If it sounds enough like a bee for somebody to associate it with bees, that could actually trigger the phobic response in them.
Okay, I can understand how that would happen. So have you been hearing about this? I mean, we're calling you and talking to you about this whole situation with the noise of the vuvuzelas, which either people either love or hate. There's nobody on the fence when it comes to this. Do people... It's not a situation where people have to be in the stadium in South Africa watching the game to trigger this situation. They could be watching at home on their television set, could they not?
That's exactly right. In fact, I worked with a gal once who was afraid of snakes, and not only was she in fear, she was flipping through the TV channels because there might be a snake. I mean, obviously, she'd never go to any of the nature-type channels. But even if she saw a picture of a plate of pasta where the noodles were curling around and shaped enough like a snake, that would freak her out.
So what exactly is, and maybe the word is primal, what is the primal response here that these people are having, and how does it differ from the actual situation? For instance, if I have a fear of something, and I've mentioned several times, I have a fear of water, but it doesn't mean I can't watch a film, I can't watch Jaws. I won't go on a boat, but watching a boat isn't going to affect me.
Yeah, well, it's a matter mostly of the strength of the fear. Some of these, I mean, fears run the gamut, right, from just slightly, I don't know, trepidatious to full-blown panic attack. And phobia is just on the panic attack end of things. And it has to do with how strongly the fear gets linked up in the first place. It's the way that the fear is born, typically, that determines how strong it's going to be.
Now, you just gave us an example of a woman who was afraid of snakes and couldn't look at noodles. We called you talking about vuvuzelas and in relationship to bees. Have you seen other situations where phobias have been triggered by something that others would think is innocuous to that particular fear?
Absolutely, and I'll give you a great example in a minute. The thing to understand is that the part of the mind that runs phobias is not a logical part of the mind. Our logical minds are too slow to protect us in dangerous situations. If we're, you know, 10,000 years ago, we're out on the tundra and we're attacked by a saber-toothed tiger, there's no time to evaluate. So in order to protect us, fear has to be immediate, you know, instantaneous and powerful. So the problem is the part of our mind that hooks those things up does so in kind of a, well, what's in the environment when I'm feeling this strong emotion? Okay, that's it right there. So that must be what I'm going to be afraid of. And so sometimes it gets hooked up to strange things. I had a woman who called me, and I didn't get a chance to work with her, but she was afraid of circles.
Circles?
Circles. Now, again, I didn't get a chance to work with her, but I think probably what happened is that she experienced a very strong fear response. You know, maybe somebody walked up behind her and went, ah! You know, and she happened to be looking at a circle or thinking about a circle, and her subconscious mind, where these phobias are run from, said it must be the circle, and then that was it. It's like a, you know, feeding the dogs and ringing the bell. She had a conditioned response because it was a very strong emotion right at that moment. She was looking at or thinking about a circle.
So it's almost Pavlovian, is what you're saying.
It's completely Pavlovian, absolutely.
Okay. Now, what you alluded to earlier with the part of the brain that deals with the phobia, it sounds like you're saying that phobias live in the area where our fight or flight response is.
Fight, flight, or freeze. There's also one other fear response in there. But yes, absolutely. And it happens powerfully enough to where it pretty much takes their rational, logical mind out of the equation. They can't overcome it by thinking, well, that's silly. I should be able to, you know, walk in the water up to my waist. There's no danger. Or it's okay. The snake's on the other side of the glass. It's too powerful for that.
So getting back to the initial reason why we called you, and that is those loud vuvuzelas, which personally I don't have a problem with. First of all, how do you feel about them?
I don't feel one way or the other about a vuvuzela. I suppose if I was sitting in the crowd at the World Cup and there were people blaring them, that would get pretty annoying. But I like the name.
What would you say to somebody who is affected by this, for instance, has a fear of bees, and connected to the vuvuzelas? What would you say to them, especially if it's somebody who, for instance, enjoys the World Cup? Would you say, you know, watch the game with the volume down, or grin and bear it? What?
Well, I would say get over the phobia. The first thing that I say to people is that they're not crazy. Phobias have a tendency to make people think they're crazy because they go along and they're in control of their lives. You know, they make decisions about what time they're going to get up and what car to buy and all that. And then in this one context, they're completely out of control. It's like they see a bee or they hear a sound that reminds them of a bee, and they'll run screaming out of the room waving their hands, and they think, well, I must be crazy. And I say, no. This is just a mechanism that we all have. It got hooked up a little strongly in you, and let's take care of it. The second thing I tell them is that phobias are really among the most treatable things that you could imagine. You'd think that they'd be really hard to work with because the feelings are so strong, but that turns out not to be the case. It doesn't matter how long you've had it or how strong of a phobia it is.
We have just a few more moments. I want to talk a little bit about your website, which is phobiascured.com. What will people find when they go to the site?
Well, what they'll find when they go to the site is that I have a program that helps them to work with their thoughts. And what happens is that inside of a phobia, it's a series of thoughts that happens, and usually really, really quick, and those thoughts are linked to the fear. Now, those thoughts are sort of, people usually aren't aware of the thoughts that drive their fears. Just like, I don't know if you've had this experience, Peter, where you're walking down the street and you find yourself humming a tune, and you realize, well, I must have started humming that tune a couple of minutes ago, but you're unaware of it. So what they'll find on the site is a set of techniques that can help them to call those thoughts up into consciousness and then change them, do some sort of thought exercises in a way that leads their brain to a different place.
Interesting indeed. And people can go to the website and find out more information. It's at www.phobiascured.com. And in the meantime, for those out there who do have a fear of bees, it's not long before the World Cup is completely over. So there you go. Although I tend to believe that this might just be the beginning of the vuvuzela. It might work its way to North America and other stadiums and other venues. So I don't think we've heard the last of this. I thank you very much, Keith, for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you so much, Peter.
That's phobia expert Keith Livingston. He runs the website called phobiascured.com. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0046, and you'll find links to his website. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
What are they saying about if the rains don't cleanse? New York Times bestselling author David Mixner says, as a writer and advocate for Africa, I could not put down Ben Patrick Johnson's If the Rains Don't Cleanse. Aubrey Hooks, the U.S. ambassador to Ivory Coast, says, fascinating and hard to put down. If the Rains Don't Cleanse is CNN breaking news disguised as historical fiction. If people can't put it down, then why haven't you picked it up? If the rains don't cleanse, the tale of missionaries in 1950s Belgian Congo is loosely based on my own parents' lives. It's available online, including Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. I, Ben Patrick Johnson, want you to read this book. My mother, Avidale Johnson, wants you to read this book. Now remember, this is a woman who survived as a missionary in Congo half a century ago. She is tough. Now do not make me send her your way. If the rains don't cleanse, get it now, or deal with my mother. Choosy mothers choose the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. If your mother didn't choose it for you, well, I guess she just doesn't love you.
And still to come on the Stuff File program, we'll meet Eric Barbario from KissThisGuy.com. Plus, we'll learn everything we need to know about bacon with the website BaconToday.com. And, of course, we have an idiot of the day. But right now, more stuff right here. And we go to Germany for our next story. An alligator was found roaming the streets of a small German town in the middle of the night. Police in Groß Rohrheim got a 2 a.m. call from a bystander who said he had just seen an alligator walking in front of a motorcycle shop in the center of town. According to police spokesperson Ferdinand Derigs, at first, they just broke out laughing. But here in the state of Hesse, we're ready for anything that comes our way. Two officers dispatched to investigate were able to capture the 3.3-foot-long alligator with equipment ordinarily used to capture dogs. The alligator was taken into custody, police said in a statement. Authorities soon found it escaped from a small circus being staged at a nearby school. The alligator was later handed over to school officials. Wait a minute. There weren't people with the circus to pick it up? School officials have to pick up the alligator? Is that in their job description? Training kids, making sure the school is run properly, and oh yeah, picking up wayward alligators? Certainly makes for an interesting resume, doesn't it? On to Georgia for our next story. Authorities have arrested a man accused of breaking into a home near Roswell High School at around 2:30 p.m. Wednesday and taking a shower. Roswell Police spokesperson Lieutenant James McGee said neighbors tell police they saw a man entering the home. Police said the homeowner then arrived and found someone taking a shower. McGee said the woman talked to the man who was in the shower, then came back out of the house. She called police, who got the man out. McGee said the unidentified man insisted that he was the Duke of Germany before he was taken to jail in North Fulton County. The Duke of Germany. I'm guessing a psych evaluation is in his future. On to Pennsylvania. Two off-duty deputy coroners in central Pennsylvania showed they're pretty good with living patients, too. Center County Deputy Coroner Judy Pleshkonko and Deborah Schmiel were wearing their scrubs and were having dinner at a steakhouse when a 15-year-old boy near them started choking on a piece of meat. Pleshkonko performed the Heimlich maneuver on the teen, and both women got him to stay calm and coached him to breathe until the ambulance arrived. Schmiel says she and her friends save lives in their other jobs. Pleshkonko is a hospital nurse, and Schmiel is a volunteer paramedic. Pleshkonko said they made sure to leave without anyone noticing they were driving a vehicle marked coroner's office. You know, The one thing about being a coroner is that you usually don't have to worry about things going wrong on your operating table. I mean, let's be honest. The worst that could possibly happen, if everything went completely wrong, you suddenly get a pulse. That'd be the worst thing. Yeah, think about that. On to Connecticut. A 9-year-old Connecticut girl who climbed onto the roof of her house and attempted to crawl back inside through the chimney had to be rescued after getting stuck. Assistant Fire Chief Jack Hennessy said the girl climbed up a house painter's ladder, walked across the roof, and tried to climb down the chimney. She almost made it to the fireplace before getting stuck in the flue. This was about 6:30 a.m. I know. What's a 9-year-old girl doing outside of the house at 6:30 a.m.? Anyway, Family members heard her cries for help and called rescue workers who tried to take the flue apart. Hennessy said after about 20 minutes, the girl was able to wiggle herself down through the hole out of the fireplace. She was not injured. But I bet she's not believing in Santa anymore. Hey, if she can't fit down the chimney, how can that fat guy in a red suit do it? Meanwhile, in Lubbock, Texas, 50-year-old Texas Tech health science professor Rod Hicks was instructing students from Austin via a teleconference. Unfortunately for him, when the lesson ended, he accidentally left the video feed open. And that's the exact moment he decided to surf the net for porn. Of course, all the students on the other side of the video feed got to see all of this. It's kind of a pathetic way to end a distinguished career. In 2008, Hicks was presented the UMC Endowed Chair for Patient Safety. I wonder if that's well-endowed chair. Anyway, according to his Texas Tech staff listing, he also specializes in pediatrics, but now he's been removed from his professorship of the endowed chair. No criminal charges have been filed, but he may still face civil and administrative penalties. Nice going there, Teach. Nice going. In St. Paul, Minnesota, police say a 15-year-old girl was cited for stealing pairs of panties from a store, and she told officers that she was in need of clean underwear. St. Paul police said the teenager, who was caught June 19th after leaving a Kmart store with a tote bag loaded with underpants that she didn't pay for, asked officers if they, quote, expected me to wear dirty underwear? No, we expected you to buy clean underwear is what we expected you to do. Or maybe, how's this for a thought, wash some of them. Anyway, investigators said 31 of the briefs were priced at $4.99 each and 13 at $3.99 each. The girl was cited for misdemeanor theft. And finally, in this section of the news, on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, Puesta del Sol Elementary School in Victorville, California, was put on lockdown after a kindergarten-related brawl. No, it wasn't out-of-control kids, but rather out-of-control parents at the graduation ceremonies who were shouting, pushing, and allegedly fist-fighting. No children were hurt in the incident, the report concluded. Although, one does think that maybe some of those kids probably will need years of therapy. Okay, besides the fact that parents are brawling at a kindergarten school graduation, call me old-fashioned, but you know, I graduated from high school. I didn't even graduate from elementary school. I graduated from high school. But in this day and age when everybody gets a diploma and a degree for doing everything in life, or a trophy for just participating, now we have kids who are graduating from kindergarten. I'm surprised there's not sheepskin out there for kids who learn how to be potty trained. It's getting ridiculous, but that's just my feeling. Let's just move along, shall we? Let's get to our next guest on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. You know, if you think the lyrics to Jimi Hendrix's Purple Haze say something about kissing a guy, you're not alone. According to Eric Barbario of KissThisGuy.com, which is an archive of funny, misheard lyrics submitted by users, tons of people think the part where Hendrix sings, "Excuse me while I kiss the sky," actually think they say, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy." It's one of thousands of misheard lyrics each and every day. On the line with us to talk about it is Eric Barbario of KissThisGuy.com. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thanks for being on the program with us. I've mentioned this to other people before, but I'll mention it to you. On Facebook, I occasionally go to your website and take one of the lyrics and put it up on my Facebook page, and the people who line up underneath it to look at the lyrics, laugh at the lyrics, add to the lyrics, it is really an infectious thing. How did this all get started with you guys?
Well, originally, the site was created by a gentleman out in California, and he was basically almost scrapbooking it. He was just keeping, you know, handwritten records, and he eventually moved it on to the web several years ago, and it started to gain in popularity. I had known him for a little while, and myself and some other investors, we bought the website from him, and since then have been expanding it. But he and I both shared that appreciation for just mishearing lyrics, and then we expanded upon what he originally had done. So there's a little more interactivity for the users out there, but the basic premise is the same. We just you know, we enjoy music, but at the same time, we certainly enjoy all the mistakes we make with lyrics, and we have a lot of fun with it.
Now, when you go through the list, some of them, I mean, they're all rather hilarious, but you look at some of them and you think, okay, this cannot be coming from someone whose first language is English. It's got to be. Some of them are just so out there.
Yeah, they are. They are. And not to get too statistical, but, it, you know, the misheard lyrics really kind of fall into a range, and you have what we would call a true misheard lyric. It just really sounds like it. You play it over and over and over again, and it sounds like it. And then you have other ones that are really parodies, where somebody just, they hear the lyrics, and they sort of make up a rhyme that sort of sounds like it, but it's more in the parody column. The other category is really where you're going, and that is either they don't have a good grasp of English, or they may have been even impaired, and they just sort of catch things a little bit different than you would maybe if you had all your wits.
Well,
and we get all of them on the website.
I was going to bring up the parody aspect of it because I was wondering how many of these things, percentage wise, can you say are a parody, or are they just out and out misheard lyrics?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're the first interviewer to ask the site that question, and it's probably close to 50%. You have 50% that are just solid, great misheard lyrics, and it sounds like it over and over again, and the others are possibly very funny, but more like parody, where it's someone just kind of Weird Al Yankovic-like making fun of a song.
One of the ones that gets the most response whenever I put it up on the site, The Girl with Colitis Goes By.
Yeah, it's one of the top five of all time.
Really?
And that was on Will and Grace used that misheard lyric on the on their TV show one time or another. So that's a very famous one. KissThisGuy.com, of course, from Purple Haze, or that lyric from Purple Haze, is in the top five as well. Queen, their Bohemian Rhapsody, and Led Zeppelin. Stairway to Heaven is a huge one. A lot of people hear there's a wino down the road when he says, as we wind on down the road. It's a good one.
Another one of my favorite is I've Got Flu, Rickets, and Parasites.
Oh, that's good. Good.
That's also...
Okay. I'm looking at the Eagles, Hotel California.
Right.
We haven't had that spirit here since 1969, one of the famous lyrics from it. Actually thousands of people mishearing it as, we haven't had aspirin here since 1969.
And I remember there was a comedian by the name of, Jeff Ross, who does use the line in his stand-up routine, "Hold me closer, Tony Danza."
Yeah, that's the Elton John song as well. Yeah, that's a pretty popular one. Definitely, there's in the rock category, we've got AC/DC famous song "Shook Me All Night Long." She was a fast machine. She kept her motor clean. It was misheard. Obviously, modern day. She was a fax machine. She kept her modem clean. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? And it really does sound like that if you listen to it. But there were no modems or faxes when that song first came out.
Generally speaking, when songs are misheard, are they from a certain era or a certain genre? In other words, you know, pop, rock songs from the 50s or from the 60s or 70s or dance tunes or whatever?
Another good question. And it's not so much era-based, but it is genre-based. And you'll find more rock and more pop without question. And the reason why it seems to be anyway, there's simply more music production behind it. You know, a lot more instrumentation. The voices are many times sort of the background, and the music is in the front with those types of music. So that's where we kind of see that tendency. Country, you don't see it quite as much because it's much more vocal-based. Rap, though, you do see it as well. But it typically has to be the more heavy-produced stuff where it's not just the lyrical-based.
I know ABBA keeps coming up quite a bit, too. A couple of the catch my eye are "See That Girl," "Watch Her Scream," "Kicking the Dancing Queen." And if you change your mind, Jackie Chan, I'm the first in line, Jackie Chan.
if you pulled that from the site, that is one that stopped us in our tracks. One of the people that sort of do up our general editing, and they sent it over to me because, again, they thought that was hilarious. And of course, when the song came out, Jackie Chan was completely unknown. So you know that it's younger people listening to songs, and in this case, the story behind that particular one. And it's very odd that I would even remember. So you picked a good one. It was a mother daughter. The daughter was hearing the song and was like, "Why are they saying Jackie Chan?" So the kids mishearing some of the music that isn't from their generation is fabulous. My daughter does it all the time with Michael Jackson music. So it's fun to see what the kids do with it.
And for me, it's kind of interesting when you hear somebody make mistakes with a lyric, and the lyric is the title. Like, I would never think, and I grew up in the 70s, I would never think that someone would get Staying Alive wrong, but Steak and Knife, Steak and Knife, I don't get it.
Yeah, about 20-30% relate pretty much just to the title, or if not a very, very, you know, key lyric, not like an embedded, you know, lyric from the main body of the song. It typically is, title or very key chorus lyric.
I was actually
I don't know why either.
I was actually a theater usher when Grease came out, and I saw the movie over and over again, so I could understand how people could mistake the lyrics in the song. But I still get a kick out of, and I have two with the same lyrics. I've got chairs and multipliers, and I'm losing control. And the other one is, I've got shoes, they're made of plywood. I've heard them both.
But have you heard, I've got kids and they're multiplying? Because that's another one that we...
haven't heard that one.
that one just increased in frequency, because we usually try to check to see how many people are mishearing the same song.
And since I am indeed calling you from Canada, and so many people think that we are nothing but a cold country, I'm not surprised that some people think our anthem is, "Oh Canada, we stand on cars and freeze."
Yep, we've heard that. We've heard that one.
Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite? You know, I kind of don't, and it's probably because I'm inundated with all of these things, and I also grew up, I'm the youngest of 9 kids and have... so 8 older siblings, and I know music from all the different genres. I have so many, it's hard to pinpoint. However, definitely some of the misheards from Queen that I like, the Bohemian Rhapsody. There's the one lyric, because if you ever look at the real lyrics, they're actually quite difficult, but there's the one line, "Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?" And,
right.
And I've misheard it as when I was a young child, as "Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the damn tango?"
And of course,
I didn't know what I was really saying. I'm like, that's what it sounds like. And I remember telling my older brother, and then he proceeded to make fun. Mm.
And of course, we can't forget Slow Motion Walter, the fire engine guy.
That's a great one. That's another. Just another classic. Because if you listen to the song and say it slowly, you can hear it. There's another one, James Taylor, another classic song, "Fire and Rain." I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
Well, since you don't have a favorite, can you think of any that when you heard it for the first time really made you laugh out loud?
Oh boy, probably the. Where is this at? The Eagles. That one used to put me on the floor. I mean, now I've just heard it so many times that it doesn't have the same impact. But Hotel California, where it's "Cool Wind in My Hair," I heard it as "Cool Whip in My Hair." and another one is the England Dan song. What is that? The Slow Wind. And it has the lyrics where, "I'm not talking about moving in, I'm not talking about moving in," and I heard it at, "I'm not talking about the linens." So those two would always just make me laugh.
People can go to the website, which is kissthisguy.com, and can they add stuff to it, or is there anything left to add?
Oh, that is what the amazing thing is. You know, first of all, this country produces over 40,000 different records and songs per year. So you have all this new music coming, and then you have all of the people that may not have heard songs that might be just very commonplace to you. Younger generations haven't heard it. So you have all these different opportunities. So actually, it's quite the opposite. We get new data, and it's growing exponentially. So we're well over 100,000 now. In fact, we might even be nearing the 200,000 mark, and we keep getting more and more every day. So it's really neat, and you see a lot where a lot of that growth is some of our greatest music from the 70s and 80s. You're seeing now a lot of the younger generations listening to that music with their parents, and they're jumping on the site. And you can add. You can become a member, and just like YouTube, you submit, it gets reviewed. We try to screen as best as possible for obscenities and things that are inappropriate. But other than that, people can pretty much post it. If it's silly, that's great. If it's not so funny, it's up to the user to put it out there.
A lot of great stuff indeed. Again, the website is kissthisguy.com. Eric, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you for having me.
Eric Barbario of kissthisguy.com. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com. Go to the What's On page for this show, which is number 0046, and you'll find the links to their site.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments. From our studios in Montreal, Canada, and going out to the rest of the world, this is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk about bacon. Bacon. And of course, we have an idiot of the day, but right now I've got another Stuff File story to share with you before we start to wrap things up. And this one comes to us from Atlanta. U.S. Airways says a flight preparing for takeoff in Atlanta returned to the gate due to maggots falling from an overhead luggage bin. The airline said U.S. Airways Flight 1537, which was bound for New York with a stop in Charlotte, was taxiing down the runway when the maggots were noticed and then returned to the gate so the plane could be cleaned. U.S. Airways spokesperson Todd Lemaker said the maggots were the fault of a passenger who brought spoiled meat onto the flight. He said the passenger with the meat was reaccommodated on another airline, while the rest of the passengers returned to the plane and continued on to Charlotte. Lemaker said the passengers were moved actually to a different plane in Charlotte, and the aircraft was then taken out of service and will be fumigated as precautionary measures are put in place. Now, what I want to know is, in this day and age, because I remember when I was a kid, especially being of West Indian parentage, West Indians would always take a whole bunch of food whenever they went on vacation and fly it to whatever West Indian island they were going to, back to the relatives, back home, as it were. And in this day and age, you just can't take anything you want on a plane. You can't even take shampoo on a plane. So how is this guy getting meat past security to get on the plane, never mind having meat with maggots, just meat of any kind? I don't know how that works out. But anyway, one meat you could probably get on an aircraft is bacon, which is my subtle segue into our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. You know, if you're looking for a gift for someone who has everything, you can't go wrong with bacon. According to James Rocco Lusbrock, editor of the all-bacon destination website, bacontoday.com, more and more people are now giving bacon as a gift because everyone loves the sizzling strips. Well, everyone, except for those who have, religious restrictions. But anyway, James joins us on the line right now from Ventura County, California. Hi, James. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, Peter. It's a great bacony day today.
It's always a great bacony day. I would assume your site is a hit with just about everyone except maybe cardiologists.
You know, and even they say it's good in moderation.
Okay, there are a lot of people, myself included, and I'm up here in Canada, and we're known for bacon. There are a lot of people who love bacon, but to turn it into a website called Bacon Today, how did this begin?
You know, it's just one of those things. Bacon started becoming an interesting trend, and we thought, why not have a site where all things bacon could be, all these bacony things were going on, and we said, why not have a site or a destination, a place where people could interact and share their love and passion of bacon? And so it became a joke around the office cooler one day, and the next day, Bacon Today was born.
Okay, so you say all things bacon. First of all, how many different things are there in all things bacon? I've checked out the site, and I'm actually surprised, but what's out there?
Well, everything from, bacon-flavored Coke to, you know, to bacon flavored chocolates, to bacon jerky, to bacon syrup, to bacon lollipops. We just got something for our newsletter we're putting together today, bacon moon pies. To colored bacon for Easter. It's sky's the limit. The options and flavors of bacon are just limitless.
Now, one of the things I actually noticed on the website, and to be honest, it would drive me nuts only because I would like it too much, and that is bacon-scented candles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would just be salivating at that smell all day long.
Yeah, and I have one sitting here in the room, and it's really interesting. It actually smells like maple bacon burning in the background. It's kind of just, you know, right now I'm okay with it. In about 30, 40 minutes, you know, I'm going to start salivating.
How long has the site been up?
Just over 2 years.
And as I mentioned in the introduction, giving the gift of bacon, people actually appreciate getting bacon gifts?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the most interesting things we find and hear about bacon is that, okay, you have your boss, you know, he's the millionaire guy, he's got everything, he's got a full cellar of Dom Perignon, you know, I mean, he's got it all, right?
Right.
You know, he's got the $2,000 drivers in his bag, you know, his club's, you know, his bag. And, well, so what do you get that guy? You know, you don't have his kind of money. So a $40 gift of bacon will make that guy pick up the phone, call his wife and say, honey, can we have bacon for dinner tonight? So, I mean, it really is the kind of gift you can get for anybody, whether they're rich, poor, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've gotten some testimonials from, like, you know, upper-end CEOs saying, what an awesome gift.
Okay, so when people wander into their supermarket, they don't exactly go out and spend $40 worth of bacon. So what I want to know is, in a gift package, what do you get for $40?
Well, you know, what I think is, what's different about see, what you get at the grocery store or typical common bacon, you get this typical hickory smoked bacon that when you throw it in a pan, you know, it goes from a pound of bacon to like 6 ounces, you know, or a tiny little burnt up bookmark, right? And what most people don't know about bacon is, see, regular store-bought bacon, they add water into the bacon to infuse it to actually increase the weight of it, okay? You know, like in third grade you learn water and oil don't mix. See, people think it's the fat that's coming out of the bacon, it's actually the water that they put in there. So what we try to do is we try to recommend dry cured bacons, like the ones at baconfreak.com. Those particular dry cured bacons have had the water extracted from them so that when you cook a pound of bacon, you get a pound of bacon, okay? And that particular method, the dry cured method, was a method of preparing bacon prior to there being refrigeration. It was a method that the Romans invented, actually. And that type of bacon is delicious, okay, because it doesn't shrink, it's a little bit more meaty, it's a little bit thicker cut, and with that we offer things like, you know, you can get like bacon-flavored pancakes, or you can get real bacon pancakes. Some people like, you know, bacon lollipops, and they can do different gift assortments that just make the gift, you know, extra delicious.
Okay, now you've just made an excellent description of the water content in bacon, and you sound very knowledgeable on the topic. You mentioned that you started this website 2 years ago, part of a water cooler discussion, and it was kind of a lark. How serious has it become over 2 years, and how much more knowledgeable are you on bacon?
You know, I think a lot more knowledgeable. And it has become very serious. I think when Bacon Today first started, the first couple months, you know, it had a few, you know, a handful of visitors like any blog would. We, on some months now, get in excess of 1 million visitors. So, you know, when you start now interacting and doing interviews and interviewing farmers, I mean, we get, you know, people that are very knowledgeable. I mean, we get, you know, restaurants like Wendy's that will contact us, Hormel will contact us. You know, they want us to actually look at their products, you know, discuss them, find out about them. I mean, right now we just, I think, got an offer from, I'm trying to remember. Kraft, that wants us to, you know, taste test one of their new products that's going to be coming out for, you know, a bacon-flavored lunch meat. I mean, so we may not necessarily be experts on how to make bacon and all these different things, but we certainly know how to get to the consumer and talk to them about what it is that they like and don't like about a particular product.
Now, again, you started this 2 years ago, water cooler discussion. What water cooler were you around? What was your day job, or what is your day job?
Well, you know, I would say a lot of those jobs don't exist now because of the recession. You know, internet stuff, nothing too exciting.
Okay.
Nothing too exciting, yeah. Yeah, But I mean, literally just a water cooler discussion of hanging around, talking about bacon. I mean, who doesn't want to talk about bacon in the workplace, right? I mean, you know, it was just one of those things where somebody brought it up, and as a joke, we said, well, let's start a site. And then, you go on one of those domain registrars, and you see what's available, and, of course, Bacon Today, and then, boom, you know, the site was up with the post that next day.
So what do people find, and what's the biggest question people ask when they go to Bacon Today? What are they looking for primarily?
A lot of different things. I think it's a social board for people to talk about what it is that they like. But one thing that they want to know is how different flavors of bacon taste. That's why we actually developed the SMACE test, okay, to help people understand what type of flavors of bacon that they would like. Because, see, what most people are familiar with or what they know is what's available at the store, your standard hickory smoked bacon. Okay, there are probably over 100 different common flavors of bacon that are available out there. And, you know, people don't know. They go, okay, what would Chipotle bacon taste like, or raspberry Chipotle, or maple bacon, or honey barbecue, or jalapeno, or, all these different types of flavors that are available out there. And they start asking questions about that, I think is one thing that's certainly a common reoccurring theme. In other words, before I go out and spend some money, you know, what would this type of bacon taste like, or is thick cut better or thin cut better? That's something that we see a lot.
And do you have a favorite bacon?
Me, you know, one of my favorite bacons is Cajun flavored bacon because it just smells unbelievably good.
Ah, but what does it taste like?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know what the Cajun kind of spices smell like. You know, especially like the Louisiana style kind of Cajun-y cooking, I guess, or spices. And what it does is it's just the, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Emeril Lagasse's always cooking with the spice and doing the bam thing. And Cajun just not only, I mean, you know how bacon fills the home with that aroma of bacon that we all, you know, growing up coming, you know, we all love that smell. Cajun just exemplifies that smell. It just makes it so, it's just on your nose. It's on the palate. You can, like, taste the bacon before it's even in your mouth. And so Cajun bacon is just, like, unbelievably delicious to me.
So I'm guessing then that since you are a bacon connoisseur that you can't just waltz into your corner supermarket and buy bacon anymore.
No, it's pretty hard to do that now because, again, you know, you go in there, like I was in Albertsons this weekend. I'm looking, you know, they have just a couple basic bland, you know, flavors. And I think that type of bacon has its place. And that's if you just want to cook two slices and throw it next to you, you know, your eggs over easy. The kind of bacon I'm into now is the kind of bacon that you're going to cook with. You know, I'm going to make a recipe with this bacon. Like, you know, one I'm looking at right here in front of me, you know, is a Baja Chipotle and sun-dried tomato bacon wrapped chicken. Okay. Well, you can use a Chipotle bacon and a sun-dried tomato flavored bacon, you know, to wrap over your chicken breasts. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of what, you know, the kind of level of we're at. It's like, what can we do? I mean, you want to go to Denny's and just have some bacon? Well, yeah, that's fine. That bacon has its place. But you want to cook with your bacon, then you need a real bacon.
And I assume that the site also has a lot of recipes?
Yeah, we do. We have a whole recipe section if you go to bacontoday.com. And also what we've done now is we've teamed up with Bacon Freak, and we helped them launch their cookbook, which is kind of a bunch of, I would say, a consortium of chefs that got together and contributed their recipes, made a bunch of different, you know, types of bacon or types of different bacon recipes with it. So, when it comes to bacon, it's not, you know, most people think, well, I just cook two or three slices, I throw it next to my eggs. It's not, no. It's what can you do with that bacon, you know? And that's kind of what we try to do.
Well, here on The Stuff File, this show is heard primarily through the United States and in Canada and around the world, but we are in Canada. So I have to ask and be totally honest, how do you feel about Canadian bacon?
Well, I like the female bacon. Female bacon is good. I think it certainly has its place. I know Canadians, I just met a Canadian yesterday, of course we were talking about female bacon. I like female bacon. So, I mean, I think it has its place. I just think in Canada, you have one or two types of bacon, and the Canadians have chosen to stick with that. I think in this country, you have a lot of proprietors who have decided to say, what can I do with bacon? and they have certainly pushed the limits. Now, they have sent us some bacon that I just think that can't be. You know, that would taste horrible. In fact, we had a bacon flavoring competition just recently, like within 2 weeks ago, and to find out what flavor would be of most interest. And it was a beer battered flavor that was like the clear-cut winner. So we're going to look at trying to help have that flavor developed.
Well, people can find out more information by checking the website. The website is called bacontoday.com. That's www.bacontoday.com. James, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us to talk about bacon.
Oh, hey, no problem, Peter. We really enjoyed our time together.
James Rocco Lewsbrock, editor of the All Bacon Destination, bacontoday.com. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com to the What's On page for this show, which is 0046. And you'll find the links to the site, bacontoday.com. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
This is The Stuff File.
And we're almost done with this show, but if you listen to this program on a regular basis, you know we can't go before we give to you the idiot of the day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the idiot of the day.
Willie Eugene Lewis climbed a fence. The fence had a sign on it that said, "Danger, hazardous voltage inside, keep out." This was at a power station in Talladega, Alabama. He then climbed onto the equipment, according to Police Chief Alan Watson, and then suffered a 40,000-volt shock. Alcohol should not be ruled out as a factor, according to Watson. Willie Lewis then climbed back over the fence and walked to a hospital for help. The fact that he wasn't dead is just astonishing. He was listed in critical condition with burns over 90% of his body. The only specific injury Watson could bring himself to report was that Willie Lewis burned off his genitals. Ow! Ow! I guess this makes Willie a rather unfortunate name now, doesn't it? Now, if the sign says, "Danger, hazardous voltage inside, keep out," yet you feel the urge to climb the fence and then touch electrical equipment, well, there's only one reason you would do this, and one reason only. You're an idiot.
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, number 0046. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find all the information and links on our guests by going to the What's On page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and again, that's 0046. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/PAHolder. And Twitter at twitter.com/PAHolder. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, VIPInternetRadio.com, KDXRadio.com, streaming on PCJMedia.com, and over the air at World FM 88.2 in New Zealand and Gold FM 90.5 in Singapore. That's it, folks. Tell all your friends. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Guests of the Stuff File program stay at their own homes. Trust me, I'm the voice for this program. I know there's no budget for accommodations. I'm reading this on a futon.